Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
The scripture today, I received a message from Tara Verilek, who was a member of this church for over a decade, and she moved a few years ago. Now I think it's been 4 years, and she has moved to Africa doing work with the Department of Justice. Is that correct? I can't totally remember which one. And she works for the security with the embassies. And she started out 2 years in the Republic of Congo and just recently moved to Nairobi over the last few months and is having a much better time because of the infrastructure and it's much safer. So lots of safaris and adventures for her at the beach. And she saw that I had been reaching out for months for more people to volunteer for scripture. So I had to get help from Africa people all the way in Africa. So we're gonna hope technology is on our side and this works. And she sent me multiple recordings and I hope I pick the one where she doesn't go, I messed up. So we're gonna have patience with this and give this a shot. And it's, oh, are you laughing? Oh, do you like it? Okay, no, it's very confusing, but this is a first. So let's try this, here we go.
Good morning, Njambo from Nairobi, Kenya. Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25, and I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But the hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
How extraordinary is that? Those of you who remember Tara, remember that she was very active when she was here, but she felt a calling away from the movie industry, which employed her for a number of years, to this higher calling of working for the State Department. And she still checks in on us. She checks our Facebook, she checks the preview of the sermon and questions of faith, and this will always be her church home. That's an extraordinary thing. To however many thousands of miles away she is, this is her church home. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. throughout Romans, Paul is concerned with two basic principles, some others, but the two basic principles are the concept of how we fracture our relationship with God and how God continues to reach out to us in our brokenness. Here he uses the analogy of pain, comparing it to future joy, saying in some sense that pain is good. Each of us knows someone who probably has not had a pain-free day in years, and yet they never seem to complain. They just move through life, aware that pain is something that they must live with. The notion of pain having spiritual value to some of us might just seem plain silly. To others, it makes perfect sense. The late theologian, Dr. C.S. Lewis, is quoted as saying, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but God shouts to us in our pain. It is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Another take comes from the then 1992 presidential candidate, Bill Clinton. He was at a rally and was being heckled. He turned to the activists and said, "I feel your pain." It became an instant cliche at the time. Yet who among us has not empathized with someone's plight, be it emotional or physical pain? In the notion of what it means to have belief and to have a sense of belonging, it ties that in a recent study at Oregon Health and Science University, their study suggests that pain may indeed be transferable from one individual to another. Whether it is scientifically possible, we know that it has biblical roots. Remember Jesus turning to his followers and instructing them to bear one another's burdens. In an article that Paul Brand and Philip Yancey wrote for the Christianity Today titled "God and God Created Pain," in it they explore the relative value of pain, and one quote stands out especially to me. They say, "I wish people in our culture would cease seeing pain as something to avoid at all costs. If we would, our lives would not only be richer, but our bodies would be healthier." So you think about this in terms of who we are and what we're about. And this, I thought about this notion of who we're called to be as Norman was sharing the Pressing On, the song Pressing On from Bob Dylan. I thought about Paul's own words from Philippians, the third chapter, where he says, "Not that I've already achieved the goodness that I know of in God, but I press on for the prize that comes to us because of Jesus." Madeleine L'Engle, in a reflection on faith and art, tells a story about a Hasidic rabbi renowned for his piety. He was unexpectedly confronted one day by one of his devoted disciples. In a burst of feeling, the young disciple exclaimed, "My master, I love you." The ancient teacher looked up from his books and asked his fervent student, "Do you know what pains me, my son?" The young man was puzzled. Composing himself, he stuttered, I just don't understand your question, Rabbi. I'm trying to tell you how much you mean to me, and you confuse me with irrelevant questions." My question is neither confusing nor irrelevant, rejoined the rabbi. For if you do not know what hurts me, how can you say you truly love me? And so it is, as we look at Paul's writing, remember that Paul always counts himself chief among the sinners. He writes a lot about sin because he knew something about it. You can't preach about it if you don't know something about it. He knew how frail he was. He knew how much he had learned as a person of faith. And that dominant note I talked about last week has to be grace. It has to be understanding where grace comes from, how it comes to us, and how it blesses us and blesses others. If we have a heart of judgment, we don't know forgiveness. If we have a heart of harshness and critical attitude, we don't know what it is to be empathetic. Paul knew what empathy was because he knew in his heart and mind and to the very bone marrow within him that he was forgiven, that he was loved, not that he was perfect, but his belief was so strong that he carried it to the edge of the earth and shared it to anybody who would listen. He knew he belonged. Do you think you belong? If you don't know that you belong, hear it for the first time. You're adopted in the name of faith. That means you belong. It means God loves you, truly loves you. I can't imagine somebody not knowing that God loves them. I just can't imagine that. But I know that that exists because I've been at this long enough that people have shared that they really have never felt that God loves them, truly loves them. But that's functionally Paul's purpose, his aim, his goal is to tell people that in the name of the faith, God loves them. That tandem, which at times feels like there's a tension, belief and belonging. If you believe, you belong. If you belong, you come to belief. Think of it as we close with our hymn, 417. I am thine, O Lord. 417. Amen and amen.